the sun comes out in Ireland for roughly 10, 20 days a year, and somehow we do manage to start a national argument over it. Specifically, should people be allowed to have a few drinks in a park without the state assuming society is about to collapse? It's News Talk Daily. I am Ciara Doherty, and this is one of those very Irish debates, because for some people, drinking outdoors is pretty harmless. It's a beer by the canal. It's a glass of wine sitting in the sun in a park or your market square. It really is no big deal. For others, it's a thin end of the wedge. It's about turning public spaces into open-air pubs with litter, noise complaints and people just getting messy. And while public drinking isn't actually illegal nationally, local councils across Ireland have plenty of bylaws restricting it. So underneath the jokes and the sunshine rows, there is a more serious question here about public behaviour, about public spaces and about whether Ireland's relationship with alcohol and indeed with authority is changing. Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Una Mullally, columnist with the Irish Times, and Sunday Independent columnist, town planner and urban theorist Conor Skehan. You are both very welcome to News Talk Daily. OK, I'm going to start with you, Una, right? And maybe this is my background, right, my legal background, but I always have to know what's the law here, right? Just tell me what it says, what nationally what the laws are and what those bylaws say.
So there aren't any national laws on public drinking. There's laws on, you know, intoxication, being drunk and disorderly in public, which are obviously, you know, two different things. But then the bylaws, you know, the local council bylaws that prevent, you know, the consumption of or intent to consume intoxicating liquor in public are, you know, multiple. So in, you know, most cities, it's basically illegal to drink in public. To help, you know, to if you're assumed that you're going to intend to drink, so if you're holding an open container or something like that. So as a result, you know, all kind of alcohol consumption is either curtailed to licensed premises or private homes.
So when you see people drinking outside establishments in Dublin or anywhere else across Ireland, you know, outside pubs, for example, they have a license to do that specifically.
Yeah, that's different. So that's the councils will kind of regulate and, you know, they enforce, they revoke, they provide outdoor licenses. So you'll have a licensed premises will have its license to serve alcohol, and then the kind of street furniture outdoor license where you can consume it outside, you know, directly in front of or to the side of a licensed premises. That's regulated by local government.
Okay. So the sun is shining this weekend. I decided to head up to Phoenix Park because I'm living in Dublin, or up to Letterkenny Park if I was at home in Donegal, and I want to have a picnic with the kids and invite a few mates around and we want to pop a bottle of something. That's actually illegal.
Yeah, well, Phoenix Park is run by the OPW, but the bylaws kind of still generally apply.
So I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
You could be stopped by a guard and you'll be asked to move on. They used to only be able to confiscate alcohol from people they assumed were underage, so under 18, but they can now actually confiscate it from anyone, from any adult. You'll be asked to move on. If you're not, you know, you can face a fine. The fines have tripled, I think, in recent years. So it's €75, or you could potentially, if it kind of goes further and you're really up for boiling for a fight, you could find yourself in the district court.
Now, you've written a piece for the Irish Times, right? And I'm going to read News Talk Daily listeners a headline if they haven't read it yet. It says, all hell wouldn't break loose if Irish people were allowed a few cans in the park. In plenty of other European cities, drinking in public places in moderation is permitted. Only in Ireland is it associated with anarchy.
Yep.
So tell me about your experience abroad.
Well, I mean, I think loads of people will have this kind of experience if you're in a different city, if you're in London and, you know, you're having a beer in London Fields or something like that, or if you're in Berlin having a drink by the canal or on a bridge of the canal or in a park. You know, this is a kind of, or a veg beer, as they call it, you know, a beer that you buy from a spatey, a little kind of convenience shop, you know, that you can kind of walk on the street with or whatever, or on public transport or anything like that. These are kind of things that are just normal, you know, and nobody is like going mad, you know. And I think that, look, culturally, we have a particular attitude towards alcohol, a very permissive one in certain ways. And then we also have a very curtailed one around where you can actually drink alcohol. And, you know, the laws, you know, kind of illustrate the constraints around that. But also, you know, alcohol consumption in Ireland has completely changed in the last quarter century. I mean, it's collapsed, basically. 30-something percent in 25 years, you know, in terms of units per adult. So, you know, there is a cultural shift there. And yet, when it comes to what people can do in public space and how they can, you know, relax or how they spend their leisure time, you know, really intersects with how we police public space and how we police behaviour. So all of these things are kind of moving parts as to this kind of sense of curtailment and probably over-policing, you know, some would say infantilising adults in terms of how they get to spend their time, where they get to spend their time and what's involved with that. And then, you know, you're basically like committing, you know, it's not a crime really, do you know what I mean? But like you are putting yourself at risk of fines or court appearances, you know, if you are having a drink, you know, if you walk from, you know, an off licence to somewhere having a beer, you know, it's not allowed.
Conor, I'm going to bring you in here. Do you feel infantilised by this policing of drinking in public spaces?
You're a liar. That's called a leading question. All kinds of
You're
words.
Always allowed to ask leading questions in cross-examination. Yes. That's what I learned in my 3 years in Kingsland, actually, Conor.
And you're the person who introduced the word cross-examination. I think your intro was excellent because it talked about the complexity and the emotional content, the way it's freighted. And it's something that easily gets distracted from facts. So I was delighted to hear you began with law, and Una set it out impeccably in terms of what the situation actually is. I think it's a very good survey of it, and you covered it very comprehensively. It's extraordinary to listen to the conversation, the speed with which it went to the negative of what you're not allowed to do. And with no disrespect to yourself, the introduction of a very emotive term like infantilize. So are you infantilized when you get into a motor car and somebody says to you to drive at 20, 30, 40 or 50 kilometers an hour? Is that infantilizing you? Is that restricting you? If you ask to buy a shotgun, are you being infantilized by having to go through a whole bunch of procedures? Society is full of things that are potentially risky, potentially dangerous. And we have a series of things, they're called laws, that we have to allow people to get the greatest utility, the greatest, in this case, fun out of things without harming themselves or other people. Society at large is a set of checks and balances between letting people do what they want so they'll enjoy themselves as much as possible without doing harm to others. And this particular debate becomes the slippery slope you've described because we allow ourselves continuously to be distracted by straw men, where we move from a tin in the park. I mean, the picture you paint is gorgeous and it's what we all love and it's what we all longed for all the way through COVID. And we go from that to then what we see in extremists on the warmest days of the year in a relatively small number of places around many city centres, and Dublin would be the most outstanding example. So I'm going to try really hard not to get sucked into the extremes by straw men and try and get us to stand back to get exactly what you and Una have suggested is the need for a more mature attitude toward Irish people enjoying drink. But we do have a problem with drink. Yes, we are seeing dramatic declines in the rates of it, but there are other people inside the HSE and the Department of Health tearing their hair out. They have huge campaigns to control drinking of any kind. We've legislation to try to prevent children being exposed to it at the same time.
Okay, let me bring Una back in here. It was actually Una who used the word infantilised, to be fair. Are you romanticising this idea of drinking in public places? Romanticising what it's like to walk around these European capitals a bit, Una?
I don't think I am. I mean, I think when you look at other places where, you know, the laws are different around consumption of alcohol in a public place, you don't see the kind of examples that you're using or kind of the kind of vision that you're using, Conor, of like, oh my God, the minute the sun comes out and if you could drink on the street, everybody would go completely bananas. You know, like maybe they would, but I suppose what I was offering in that piece is like looking at how we can enjoy public space and why I think there is a general feeling in a lot of, particularly in cities in Ireland, when it comes to public space and when it comes to leisure time around, why can't we have nice things? Why can't we actually just enjoy ourselves as adults? We're not harming anyone. You know, why can't we, you know, both behave and get an opportunity to behave the same way as other kind of European cities and so on? So I think there is kind of like a, that kind of sense of curtailment or policing or infringement on something that's actually, you know, allows people to relax in a responsible way is missing, I think, sometimes from our culture.
Okay, so you say you're not curating this lovely image of public drinking. This is how it actually could be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how it would pan out, you know. I do wonder, like, for example, in the bylaws, they can be relaxed for large events, right? So if you have in public space, so if you have like a big concert promoter and a massive beer brand and they're having a gig in somewhere that's usually a public space, you know, you can drink. Or if there's a community event run by the community, you know, the bylaws are relaxed and so on, or sporting occasions and things like that. So like, why is it the case that when there is a commercial interest and profit to be made from a huge number of people drinking in public space, that's allowed? But when it comes to actually smaller numbers of people who there isn't a profit motive there and they're actually just hanging out with their friends, that's illegal.
Hmm. Again, it's conflation. So again, Una, you've done your homework. You've described exactly the situation. You go to a concert in a lot of the lovely parks we have all around the country. The guards work with everybody beforehand. The beer company, the guards, the sense of good humour is there. Lots of common sense at work. A little bit of drunkenness at the edge. The approach roads, the train or the dart in or out, all controlled. Key word there, controlled, licensed, planned, safe, care. They're all the words we're looking for in society. We're a society looking after ourselves and looking after each other. And the then immediate transition from that to the tiny thing of somebody saying, but sure, it's only one small poor publican. Isn't she allowed to make a few bob on the few days of the year? And that's what we immediately then, we do a reductio ad absurdum, and we seek to make the case for what happens when you're outside that person's pub. Not reasonable.
The other point, though, that Una made there is that culturally we have changed in Ireland, that there has been this significant drop in the amount of alcohol people are drinking and the amount of alcohol, particularly that young people are drinking, and that we need to recognise.
Yeah, heavy drinking and binge drinking is an older person's problem in Ireland now, for the most part.
The examples of making provision for large public areas where people can enjoy themselves already exist in Ireland. And at the risk of being excessively Dublin centre, all you have to do is go to Cork. Go down to the Marina Market in Cork. 5,000 square metres of couches and places to hang around.
Yeah, and no alcohol.
Exactly. Exactly. And the kids, because I go down there a fair bit, I have family there, the kids adore it. And why do they adore it? Because they feel safe there. They feel they're not stigmatised by being the person who's not having a drink.
But are we stigmatising, as Una says, the younger generation because of the faults of the older generation who perhaps had a different attitude to alcohol than the young people are now? Well, they should be given a chance to drink in their parks and their canals and their squares.
See, you've done that drift again. We've immediately gone from safe, large-scale socialising, Cork, Marina Market, and then we've stuck the label of alcohol onto it as being something that's necessary then to also allow it to become enjoyable. We're mixing it up all the time. We mix up public drinking with public drunkenness. We mix up entertainment with the need for there to be alcohol involved in it. They are non sequiturs.
Mm. Una, should drinking become normalised in every shared public space? You know, in a pub, you have this very consensual drinking environment. You know what you're getting when you're going in there. But if you go into, let's say, a park where there's maybe families or children or the elderly or people who have a bad relationship with alcohol, or people go in there because they love the fact that this is a guaranteed alcohol-free space, is it not good that we try and preserve those?
I don't think it's about normalising alcohol consumption in public space. I don't think socialising needs to have alcohol at its core. I don't think, you know, I agree with you that the example of Marina Market, which is amazing, it's a beautiful space, really vibrant, you know, they don't serve alcohol, fine. You know, that's totally grand. I don't think you need it in every space. What I'm saying is that the responsible individual, in a safe way, if they want to have a beer in a park, I just don't see why that's against the law. Like, I can understand that we don't make laws on the kind of baseline of the perfect scenario. We make them on what can go wrong. I appreciate that. You know, nobody wants to be going into a park with their toddlers or whatever, and all of a sudden there's like 20 people with, you know, getting hammered and with speakers and wrecking the atmosphere and the ambience that already exists there. But it's interesting that, you know, that's the kind of vista people have. And yet that's not really what unfolds, you know. I mean, you cannot sit outside on the footpath of your home and have a drink legally?
We keep on using the word illegal. I'm trying to say we have laws. We probably need more. We need more sophisticated ones. Mm. But we need to mediate between the rights of the individual and those of people who want to enjoy themselves. There's a good reason that a licensed premises has to have all children off the premises by whatever hour it is, right? But when you live in a village where there's large-scale drinking taking place and the children of the village have no choice but to make their way through that every single day, what choice do those children have? They've none. You've taken it away from them.
But just to Una's point there, why is there this assumption, right, that if we change the laws or relax the laws here, that we would end up with these public spaces that are ruined by noise and by litter and by antisocial behaviour? Why do we assume that, Conor?
Well, you need to go down to the district courts fairly often to see what happens when residents try to object. But all the places we're talking about have very brave individuals going down month after month after month to the district court trying to get a hearing that they can't sleep, they can't let their kids out. It's a real issue. It's a very real issue.
And the thing is, we have seen that, haven't we, in Dublin? Like, I'm sure you probably live close to the city centre. Mm-hmm. I live close to the city centre. I go around the canal quite a bit. And you do see, you know, a big sunny day around by the canal in Dublin, particular pubs. And afterwards, you see all of these reports of litters, of cans, of glass bottles, of urination on the street, of residents saying, I found feces in my front lawn. Like, whether we like it or not, it does often descend into that. You know,
yeah,
we haven't moved on,
and that's
unfortunately.
Also outside of licensed premises, right? I mean, it's also an argument for more bins. It's an argument for more public toilets. We have a total poverty of amenities and facilities in our public space in this country.
Exactly. And the thing that makes your point, Una, is that Temple Bar, which was where it all began, doesn't have that problem now because they invest massively in a street cleaning crew who come in every evening. All the security people are briefed within an inch of their lives. That costs money. All those traders, all those people who make all that money out of Temple Bar pay into a fund mm-hmm. that pay to police and clean up the externalities of the way they make their money. So we do have a successful example in Ireland and it works really well. It works really well.
But we can't do that in every park, canal bank and market square, can we?
Well, I mean, we have local governments who are charged with mm-hmm. keeping the public realm, you know, clean and you know, nice looking and functional. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what everybody's paying tax to for services as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so absolutely streets should be cleaned all the time. You know, absolutely people should pick up after themselves as well and be responsible. But I do think that we have a thing in Ireland where when something is proposed around change, any kind of change, particularly related to behaviour, everybody assumes the worst. I don't know what this is, like if it's a confidence thing or self-deprecation that kind of tips over, but like, you know, I remember when the Dublin bike scheme was coming in, people were like, oh, they're all going to be thrown in the Liffey. It's literally the
most
best run.
In Europe.
So I think that actually we, I'm not sure if we believe our own capacity for maturity. And if we, I think because sometimes when certain things are tested or tried, and because they happen in curtailed environments spatially, this kind of sense of like bottleneck or crowds of people makes it look like it's more hectic than it would be if actually there was much more space allowed for it, you know, which we've
seen.
If it
just became the norm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, walking down the street having a beer or something is, I just do not see who that's harming.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my daughter lived in Berlin for years. I am that person who loved going out to the Spatie, picking up a couple of bottles, going down and having them in the local park. Fantastic. But the problem is you need to have the follow-on system. You stay past 10 o'clock in those parks in Berlin and you see how quickly the Polizei will arrive down.
Yeah.
So we forget that.
But what Una's saying is we need to trust ourselves in Ireland that we are mature enough now to do this. Do you think we're actually kind of not, Conor?
No, I think Una put it again, her finger on it. We are changing, things are changing and we need to surf that wave of change. But we've to be careful not to allow ourselves to be herded to extremes by people who are lobbyists for the food and bev business in Ireland is a very big, very powerful, very financially well-off one. And we've got to lead it as citizens.
Do we need to be better though in this country, Conor, distinguishing between drinking, drunkenness and disorder.
Yes, and every country in Europe does that. You go down, see how quickly they'll pick you up in Spain after they, what they call a botterie or something like that, where you drink in a park. You see what happens if you step out of line with that more than 15 people. You will be in the jail so fast for the night. We forget that. We don't hang around to watch the end of the night where the carabinieri or the polizei pick you up once you've broken those rules. We have to have that as well.
Okay. Una, would you be comfortable with that part of it?
With
you break the rule at all and mass arrests. Do you know what I mean? So what you're saying, Connor's right, you get all the benefits, but then there's zero tolerance when you break those laws.
Yeah, I mean, well, the law around public drunkenness is to do with that somebody would be of obvious harm to themselves or to another person or whatever. So there are, you know, big kind of distinguishing aspects here in terms of how you behave. I mean, if somebody is acting the absolute maggot and harming other people because they're drunk in public. I mean, obviously that's not good.
Guys, we're doing the same thing again, reductio ad absurdum. The reason the gendarme will close down the square in France at 10 o'clock on the button is because they want everybody who lives around the square to be able to sleep at night.
Yeah,
it's got nothing to do with drunkenness.
Yeah,
it's
but that's fair. That's totally
civility.
Fair.
Civility.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying we do it. It's for civility and becoming mature urban inhabitants.
Yeah, agree.
Well, on that point, now that you're both agreeing at the very, very end, we will leave it there. Conor Skehan and Una Mullally, thank you so
much
for coming in to News Talk Daily HQ and having that conversation with us. It's actually put me in the mood for a drink in the sun.
Come on.
We'll find a bar. We'll find a bar. That's it from News Talk Daily. Love to hear from you. You know how to get in touch. newstalkdaily@newstalk.com, or you'll get me on Instagram @officialkiraD. Until tomorrow, take care. Bye-bye.